look at some topics that are very integral to the Christian faith. We look at healing, for example. We look at walking by faith. We look at forgiveness and walking in love. We look at salvation through faith. Like Martin Luther King said, there are things you teach every time because people forget it every time. Amen. And one of such things we oftentimes start our year with is teaching us spiritual growth. And Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and brings forth his fruits in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not like that. They are like chaff which with the wind they drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. So we began to look at adventures in spiritual growth. And there's such a thing as someone growing spiritually. You know, the way you have people grow, naturally people grow up. There's also such a thing as people are growing spiritually. And it's a pity if someone has not heard of it, because you should have heard of it. I always say this way. Born of the Spirit, right? Come on. Every believer has the Spirit of God. Yes or yes? But you observe that we function differently. Our convictions are oftentimes not the same. And you wonder why it's like that. Why can brother A do more than me? Why does this brother pray more? Why does this brother give more? Why does this brother preach more? Why can he teach more? You know, and you wonder, why is it like that? And that is spiritual growth. That's the factor of spiritual growth. You know, like you say, everybody's a footballer. I like to use football as an analogy. You know, you have Chelsea, who are like 10th, yeah? Right? They're like 10th, you know, and that's not even the beginning. That's going to go down. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yeah. So, you know, Chelsea are like 10th, and Arsenal is first, you know, I don't have to say that, but, you know, just for give you context, that some people are growing spiritually. And so, but, you know, Chelsea players will call themselves footballers too. But, you know, a footballer that cannot pass, but will they pose as footballers? Eh? But they are not growing. You get that? I have to say that one. So, you are all footballers, but some people are 20th on the league. Some people are 10th, some people are 1st. But they are all footballers. Just the same way, they are all Christians, we are all believers, but why are some people not making the progress in faith like others? Spiritual growth. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So, we need to speak about it. Because spiritual growth ought to be every believer's delight. It ought to be your delight. You have to ask yourself, am I growing spiritually? Someone can be 60 years old and is a spiritual babe. Someone can be 12 years old and is spiritually mature. It has nothing to do with your age in the natural. You don't do anything to be older every year. You just stay alive. Say, last year, if you know what I did, if you know what I did to make this year, no. Being alive, you will clock one more year, right? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. But for spiritual growth, it's not like that. You've got to do something. It has to cost you something. It has to cost you something. So, I always say something. Babies are cute, but growth is necessary. Amen. What did I say? Write that one very well. What did I say? Yeah. Babies are cute. If you think so, I don't think so. Babies are cute, but growth is necessary. Growth is a sign of life. Only living things grow. So, if you're not growing, it's either the thing is dead, or there's a disorder. It's either there is death, or there's a disorder. Anything that is alive ought to grow. So, am I alive? Am I growing? Of course, we have seen that we are alive. Say, I'm alive. So we said, what predicated growth in the first place is because we are alive. And we said that's what Jesus brought to us. Eternal life. Of course, that's what we have as salvation. And last week, we delved a bit into death and life. And I told you, I said, eternal life puts in context this life that we're living now. Oftentimes, people get lost and they think that this world is all there is. No. Sometimes, people think that when people die, that's the end. That's not the end. In fact, no believer, let me say it again, no Christian should be scared of death. I know we all pray, ah, God, no, preserve my life. This that's good prayer. But no Christian should be scared at all. Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain, of course, after doing so much. No Christian should be. Paul says, all things are yours. Life, death, they are all yours. Of course, in context. So we said, every time Jesus spoke, he spoke about a life after death. Because death is more than someone stopped breathing. Death is separation from God. Jesus told Martha in John 11, 25, he told Martha and Mary, he said, he that believes in me shall never die. John 11, 25 and 26. Those who believe in me shall never die. Don't let the vanities of this world tempt you to think that this is everything. You know, let me say this. Look up. To some people, this is life. Listen, this is life. You are born, you go to school, primary school, secondary school. If you're Nigerian, that's the way we do it. Primary, secondary, and the tertiary education, whether college of education, your polytechnic or university or technical schools, yeah. And then you graduate. That's life to them. When you graduate, you get a good job. Nobody even says about starting job. So you get a good job, and then you get married. Then you have kids. Then you live happily ever after. No, nothing missing, nothing broken. Say, you live the perfect life. How? If that's still your idea of life, something is wrong. Something is wrong. People have that kind of life without calling the name of Jesus once. People live that kind of life without having to pray. So that's nothing close to God's will, as it were, even though God wants you to be well. There is a vanity that is corrupting this age, where people just think it's about being comfortable, it's about, you know, having financial freedom. That's all that matters. I say, money answers all things. What things? Money doesn't answer everything. The person that said it was talking about party. He says, a feast and a wine, money answers all these things. He's not talking about life. You have to change your worldview, the way you see the world. Life is for living. For living for Jesus. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So we saw Jesus make the promise of life. In John chapter 8, so we already looked at some last week, right? So I'll just write them out. I like using the board. Makes it easier. So we looked at some last week, yeah? We looked at 1 John 5. Oh, sorry, I like my John like JH. I probably have to change. 1 John 5, we looked at 11 to 12. This is where I write my verses. Learning from my mom. So 1 John 5, 11 to 12. What else did we look at? John 5, 4. John, you have to get used to this. John 5. This is John. So John 5. I think that you have to write your own like that. You don't have to write yours like that. John 5, 40. We looked at John 10, 28. We looked at John 5, 24 also. So 24 and 40. What else did we look at last week? Psalm 90, verse 5. But I want you to turn your Bibles today to 1 Corinthians 15. Before 1 Corinthians 15, John chapter 8. Are you there? John chapter 8, verse 48. Okay? John 8:48-52. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and art the devil? Jesus answered, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but there is one that seeks and judge. Very, very, I say unto you, if a man shall keep my saying, he shall never see death. If a man shall keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verse 52. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you are saying, if a man shall keep my saying, he will never see death. Look at what Jesus did there. If a man keeps my word, he will never see death. And he said, but Abraham is dead. He said, he never saw death. Meaning that, listen very well, there are two kinds of death, like John would say. There are two kinds of death. In the eyes of God, all deaths are not the same. You know, when someone gives up probably in the hospital and all of that, oftentimes we go sober and all, which it's normal. It's normal, but Jesus is saying that's not the end. That's not the end. Amen. He will never see that. So what we have in Christ is eternal life. The psalmist says, I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. That is not a birthday text. I will satisfy him with long life, his eternal life. A life that does not end. So, in Christ, we have eternal life. Say, we have eternal life. No, that's not loud. Say, we have eternal life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. We are going to read from verse 42 to 45 together. So also is the resurrection. Are we ready? Want to go? So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in the natural body. It is raised in the spiritual body. There's a natural body. So it is written in the first man. And the last Adam was made a... There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Let that be clear. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Meaning that when the natural body gives way, there is a what? There is a spiritual body. There is a spiritual body. Let that stick. Let's look at what we call the Old Testament. Look at the prophets. In Psalm 49. Psalm 49, I'll start on verse 12, but we're going to verse 15. Nevertheless, man being in honor abides not. He's like a beast that perishes. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity above their saying, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Can we verse 15 together? But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. Amen. God will redeem. This is David. He says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Do you believe that for yourself? Thank you, Jesus. Look at Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25 verse 8. Verse 7, verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And it will destroy this mountain in the face of the covering cast of all people, and the veil that is spread over the nations. And verse 8 together. It will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Shall take away from all of the earth. The Lord has spoken it. Amen. So in God's salvation, you see that in verse 9. Of course, he will save us, since the Lord, we are waiting upon him, we will be glad and rejoice in salvation. So, in the promise of salvation, is life eternal. So, it's not just the epistles, the prophets spoke about it. In the promise of salvation, is life eternal. Look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13. Can we read verse 14 together, everybody? I ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance shall be eat from my eyes. Amen. So there's a promise of life eternal. So if you have believed in the gospel, if you have believed in Christ, you have life eternal. Say, I have life eternal. You don't believe that. You're not saying that like you believe it. I have life eternal. Oh! That's some statement. I've got life eternal. So we said, because the believer is alive, and everything that is alive must what? Must grow. Imagine you have a baby. You know, when you first give birth to the baby, everybody's happy. Have you? Ah! Congratulations. Mama Junior. Congratulations, so, like Yoruba, Yoruba can greet you for everything. They can say, Eku Omo. After the next week, Eku Omo, last week, Eku Omo Seto Koja. After that, next year, and Eku Omo Josi. You know, but after 14 years, and your child is still a baby, you know, there's a problem. People start asking you questions. Is he not going to grow? And some Christians are like that. You have been the same yesterday, same today, and forever. You have not grown one inch. Then there's a disease. Hallelujah. You can be going fresh, and you think you're happy with life, but something is wrong with you. Something fundamental is lost. You are forming graduates. That's nothing to do with your spiritual growth. You are forming a banker. You are forming salary. Forming doctor. That's not your spiritual growth. You have to make intentional efforts. You have to be deliberate. So we said, the first sign of spiritual growth last week, we said the first sign will be what? Knowledge. Knowledge. What do you know? We've got a lot of people going to church and they don't even know Jesus. Like my children's church pastor will say, years gone by, he will say, the fact that you sleep in a garage does not make you a car. It used to be funny to us because I always feel, who sleeps in the garage, by the way? But that's true. That's very true. The fact that you are in church does not mean that you are growing spiritually. Let's first start with that one. Some people are in church because they have to force you and call you and coerce you. And you know, when someone starts calling you and they're saying, maybe I called you last week and you not come last week. And you are attending church out of pity for the person. You should be pitying yourself. If nobody is telling you the truth, you need pity. I'm going to go a bit old school. You should be crying for yourself. I remember some years ago, I took someone to church after service. He now came to me and said, I've done your will now. I have come now. Don't disturb. I said, come. You don't have sense. The church you came to now, did I collect money? What is my gain? I don't know. That's why I wonder why you are coming. That's where your stupidity starts from. Because you don't know. Someone is inviting you to pray, to hear God's word, and you think you are doing him favor. You are stupid. All the favor is yours. Hallelujah. But because we are in this age and time, where even the church of Christ, we hope things are changing, we pray. When the church of Christ is seeker sensitive, people are looking for new members at all costs, whether they are sheep or they are goats. And by goats, I don't mean greatest of all time. Real goats. They just come to church. So that we can just have the chairs filled, we can have the all filled. No! That's not the point of church. The point of church is to have believers gather in one place to learn more about God. To grow more together. Not all these ones that you are giving first time I fried rice. Who is he doing a favor by coming to church? Not me, not Jesus. Amen. Whose life is changing? Is it my own? As you are coming, the moment they want to correct you, say, why didn't you open your Bible when we were opening Bible? Say, I will not come next week. Uh-huh. And so, are you the Holy Ghost? So, if you don't come next week like that, the service will not hold. As you are that important. Give yourself some brain and desire spiritual growth. I want to, you know? Who is deceiving you? At the end of the day, you will face the most important person that will judge you. I hope you will not be laughed at. Amen. The first sign of spiritual growth is knowledge. I begin to desire to know. I begin to want to know. To want to know more. You cannot just profess yourself as Christian. Christianity is not what you seek in a form. You seek Christian because you are not Muslim. And you cannot write traditional worshipper.
and he writes atheist, it looks too big for you. Because you don't know whether there's hell. Get away. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Christianity is what you call yourself because you know Jesus. Not because you go to church. So you need to ask yourself, do I know him at all? Or you are just part of the bad one God of Christians who just go to church, you know, Sunday. Like a pregnant woman. Like this Sunday, fully Catholic. They just said I should come to that. I should have come to church. I should have come now. What's that? You need to start to desire spiritual growth for yourself. You ask yourself, am I growing? Do I pray more now? Do I love Jesus more now? What am I doing for the kingdom of God has improved? That I'm better at? So we said the first is knowledge. Say knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Grow in grace, that is in knowledge. Ignorance does not look good on any believer. You have to grow in knowledge. Some believers, they can talk about sports. Hey! Start asking about Chelsea. That useless club. Chelsea, this, Chelsea, that. Your stadium is like 40. I'm entering the flesh in Chelsea. Come back. They can talk so much about football. They can talk so much about... There's one guy when I was in school. He was talking about F1 race. F1 race. I mean, football is enough. This guy knows about all the tracks where the pit stops. Is it pit stops now? And the tire size. The tire... Then I asked him, one guy said, what church do you attend? Mention the name of the church. What was the title of the sermon last Sunday? That day was Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, but it was midweek. What was the title of the sermon? He said, something around Job. Something around Job. I said, that's nice. So, this race now, this guy that is winning, he said, that's the champion. Then he started dissecting. For like 15 minutes he was talking. He wanted me to become a fan. Fan call. So, he was talking, he said, pastor, will you join us? You are who? I said, you cannot remember the title of the sermon. But this guy that doesn't know that you exist. Some people within Messi or Ronaldo. Who is my goat? If nobody has told you, you are on the road to competing for one of the most stupid people. You need to take your life serious. You need to take your salvation more serious. You ask yourself, what do I know exactly? If today someone asks you to talk about fasting, what do you know about fasting? Maybe that's why you drink tea. By 12, you have taken tea and biscuits. You say, there's something about fasting. What about it? What about it that made you take biscuits? By 12. Hallelujah. I was in one country one time. The fasting, they breakfast by 12. With a banquet by 12. I set time. Naturally, 12 o'clock, I've not even started eating. Food has not come to my head. Naturally, by 12. You are breaking fast by 12. When did you wake up? Say, you know, we thank God our prayers have been answered. Which prayer? You cannot explain salvation. You cannot explain tongues. Someone meets you on outreach. Say, the tongue. Is it not Mexican that we are speaking? You are speaking Chinese. And then you start looking. You say, it's true. Sometimes I just hear some bae. You know some bae? My sister watched a lot of Korean. And they hear, sumisu. They have very nonsense language. But it's fine. Amen. Yoruba must sound silly to them too. And Igbo. When they hear it, they say, what kind of people are this one? It's like the way Igbo people speak their conk. The other day I went to market. I said, this guy's not selling me. After everything just came, 3-5. With all these things I said, I'll pay 300 naira. You cannot say this much and you want to do me a favor. It's not a favor. He has spoken. Peter is peaceful, cannot reach it. Someone asks you about tongues, you get lost. I was listening with Brother Mola and some folks. What day was that? On Friday. I was talking about someone that I wanted to preach and all of that. And, you know, imagine going on outreach and someone is forming a knowledgeable. So apparently he has been doing it for some people. And he wanted to do it again. As he now came, he said, do you have Hebrew Bible? He was asking Brother Mola, do you have Hebrew Bible? Brother Mola said, bring your own out. Do you have, can you read it? So he had to bamboozle him with some stuff. Amen. So there are times that you have to do that. Someone is saying, do you have Hebrew Bible? I say, come. Hebrew. I will preach to you in Hebrew. I will try. God will help you, you know, understand. That Hebrew that you want to talk. But that's a function of knowledge. How can you not be able to explain your salvation? How can you not be able to explain the gathering of the saints? How can you not be able to explain the gift of the Spirit? You cannot explain visions and revelations. You cannot explain the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. How do people know? You cannot explain anything. So why are you a Christian? The first sign of spiritual growth is knowledge. I begin to desire to know. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. Ephesians 4. We read from verse 11 to 14. He gave some, he is Jesus of course. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting there is the word katatismos. So I'll spell it. Because I've seen a lot of Greek yogurts. Not Greek spelling now. I look at some notes and I just laugh. It is well. Katatismos, it means maturing. It means furnishing. For the furnishing of the saints. How many of you, you've moved to a new house before? It might not be your house, a new apartment or something. You've moved there before. Empty. So what do you start doing? You start putting the chair, right? Start putting the sink, the basins, the furnitures, the mirrors, for those of you that use mirrors. What again? Dining table, you know, different things, your bedroom, where you will sleep. You are furnishing the place. That's the word. He says he gave you pastors for furnishing your life. For the perfecting of the saints. Can we read on? For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can we read verse 13 and 14 together? Everybody wants to go. See, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. So it says, you have pastors so that you can come to the knowledge of the Son of God. So that you can come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That we henceforth be no more children. Can you not see that? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Today, someone taught you tongues. You started speaking in tongues. Tomorrow, someone else said, he's demonic. He's fake. Then you start saying, Next tomorrow, the person that taught you from Glorious Church comes back. He starts saying, it's true. It's true. What has happened? You are a baby. Only a baby puts everything in his mouth. You have no conviction. You have nothing you stand with that you know well. Paul is saying, with spiritual growth, you will be no longer children. You will be no longer children. Tossed to and fro. Someone told me one time, he said, the tongue that he's hearing is fake. Well, not here. It was one meeting like, I said, why didn't you speak in tongues? He said, that tongue is fake. I said, you cannot have a fake without having an original. Amen. The moment you say, you cannot have a fake 5,000 naira note. Can you have a fake 5,000 naira note? Why? Nothing exists. If you take it somewhere, they'll tell you. Well, you started your own CBN. There is no original 5,000 naira, so you can't have a fake one. So if people are speaking fake tongues, why not look for the original one? Amen. You speak the original one. Forget the people that are speaking fake. Go for the real thing. But when you are a child, you will think like a child. You will reason like a child because you don't know anything. Hallelujah. So I'm growing spiritually. So God's word helps us grow to know more. You have to grow in your desire for knowledge. Some believer cannot sit for a 30-minute sermon. They are already shifting their bombs. When will this message finish? But put a movie in front of them. Tell them you are watching one movie in church. Anything that they will off light. They will cover everywhere. You now be watching screen with good sound, with popcorn, loud on Sunday, and you don't think they want to use it for ritual. Sunday morning, anything that can make you give me popcorn Sunday morning, you are putting up light, you are showing me film, you are collecting my life. What do you want to do to me? Amen. But see, that's the kind of church I like. Now this kind of church I want to go now. You know, every time I see nonsense posts, the comment that is always on that is, now this kind of church I define now. Of course. One church was singing the video with the way the music team, it's not music team. The way those guys were singing, those their choir members, you know that they were somewhere on Friday night. And it was not prayer vigil. Selah. That there's a particular day I saw. The way she was singing it, it's not a function of Riaza. It's a function of what he grow. You know this thing. And the pastor said, was, yeah. I said, wahala. The comment I'll see next is, now this kind of church I want to go now. Of course, where babies meet babies. Where nobody cares about Jesus. Just about entertaining yourself. Later he said, demon is chasing you. Who else will he chase? Me. It's you now. Hallelujah. They hit a little problem in life, everything goes bang. Scatter. You start hearing this one, sleeping with this one. Of course. When there's no spiritual growth, what else will happen? What else will... When is David you are your Sam? And it's not David that wrote Sam. Another David. Who is not another? But there are some that trouble you. Hallelujah. I'm not against anybody's song, though. But are you growing spiritually? Ask yourself. Your desire of God's word must increase. The amount of God's word you take in must increase. You know, when you see a baby, the mother will feed with a, what they call it, feeder, feeding bottle, right? Feeding bottle. I remember I fed our last born. So you feed with feeding bottle, then you put a bib around the neck, Abby? Because you know that the food will waste, right? In fact, at the end of the feeding bottle, there will be more on the chest than in the tummy, right? But if the child now clocks 16, and you still have to put that bib, and still use a feeding bottle, there is a problem. You should be consuming more by now. Amen. You should have more food in your tummy by now. As a believer, as you are growing spiritually, your hunger for God's word must increase. You must go to GSC Media, and you already have a plan. This is what I'm listening to. If that's not the case, something is wrong. And you cannot fake it for long. Have a desire to know God. A desire to walk with Him. There's nothing as beautiful as that. Are you with me this morning? Go to Hebrews chapter 5. So you will learn my shorthand. Hebrews is HB. Habakkuk is HAB. Philippians is PH. Philemon is PHIL. It makes it easy. I know some of you start adopting this mode of right now. It's nice. Alright. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 12 to verse 14. Are you there? Once again. For when a time when you ought to be teachers, you still need one to teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by the reason of their senses exercise to discern what? Paul said, it's a shame that when you ought to be a teacher, they are still feeding you with milk. You ought to be the one teaching people God's word. You are still the one they are calling. Don't forget church tomorrow. How can someone tell you don't forget church? How can someone be telling you don't forget prayer meeting? What are you doing that will make you forget? Don't forget prayer meeting. I say, I will try. I will try. That deserves spiritual growth. Are you saying it though? Because I asked you to say it. Say it very well. I deserve spiritual growth. See, when you need to be a teacher, they are still feeding you with elementary things, for you are a babe. So we said, spiritual growth will first be seen in knowledge. Look at Philippians 1. Can I follow? This is very low. You're shouting.
Philippians 1. Philippians 1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in what? Knowledge. And in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, that you are filled with the fruits of righteousness. We still go there to the fruits of righteousness. So he's talking about growth. And he says, we'll see your growth in more knowledge and more judgment. We'll see your growth in more knowledge. You have to ask yourself, am I growing spiritually? So, Paul says, an increase in knowledge is growth. Ask yourself, what do I know today about the faith? Some Christians, they cannot encounter an atheist and come out the same. I remember, I think I taught you one time. We went to, what year was that? I came from Ibadan. After the festivities. Right? What year was that? 2019? 18? I remember I taught Adventures of a Soul Winner. Series 2. So I went to Ibadan. I usually go to Ibadan during the festivities. Not really anymore, but then. So, normally when I go, myself and my friends will preach every Christmas day. I don't want to tell you one funny story. There was a Christmas day that guy went to preach. At Ijeon, we have eaten. My stomach was not running. I've shared this story with you before. I was having running stomach on outreach. Where I branch? I first branch mosque. That. They saw Bible. I'm not coming to preach. I'm not coming to preach. Just open toilet. Afa will not collect. Where is Afa? Let me beg you. Imagine it was one church like that. But one of those outreaches. So we used to grow up in groups with some of their disciples, of those who stay in Badon, some of my friends who stay in Badon. So some of their disciples, we all go together and we'll go and preach. And we went to somewhere around Foko. And while we are done preaching, we just saw one of our brothers was still with a seven-year-old Muslim was schooling a believer and was quoting Bible. And the brother was saying, is that one there? That was in Bible. Wow. You are the Christian. And the 7 year old was saying, Kiniko, we have to go and save him. We don't have to put the brother aside. How can you be saying, wow. He was almost writing. So, wow. I didn't know that one. So Isaiah said that. Wow. We have to pull him and have to embarrass the boy. Not embarrass with knowledge, of course. Then that one you said, you are wrong. Even the one that was right. I said, no. If you look at what Peter now said, the boy was well schooled. He had to go and call someone else too. Now he's coming to like chief. I said, is your brother we're talking to? Only in Sheba Ibn B. Shine him more. In Koti, Wiggles what, sir? You know Smith Wiggles what? This time I was always saying, Some of you don't know Smith Wiggles what.
The pastor, it's true.
Yeah, I say, do you know what Wiggles what said in 90? I said, calm down. When he said it, but the believers, he said, Wiggles what? Is he part of the disciples? Is part of you working McDonald's? Shut up. See, I'm growing spiritually. So, if that's Philippians 1:9. Colossians 1. That's the next book after. Verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful. So, every spiritual growth is termed by fruitfulness. Because as you are growing, you are bearing fruits. You are bearing fruits. And that fruit will start with knowledge. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 28, Paul now says, Christ whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus. Perfect is the word mature, telios. To present every man telios, mature. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Mature, complete, full grown. But that fully grown Christian will come by what? Teaching every man. So if you are someone that is not given to teaching, then you are not given to growth. You don't want to hear God's word. You just want to be entertained. Not yet. Not yet. I love what Charles Spurgeon said some years ago. He said, the church is for the growth of the sheep, not entertainment for the goat. You choose where you are. You don't want goats. Amen. Filling an auditorium is the easiest thing in this world. Hallelujah. If you want goats. But we are the sheep of Christ. Hallelujah. Ah, are you? Yeah. I say it now. If you don't say it, you're a goat. Say it again. People said, I will be a goat. Be a goat now. Ewu. I'll be ewu. I don't know what they call it. I will touch your nerves this morning. So you ask yourself, am I growing in knowledge? By growing knowledge means that you are allowing the seed of God's word walk in you. Don't forget, for every place where we are seeing growth and that Paul's prayer, he kept mentioning being fruitful. Abi? Being fruitful. So what is growth? We have already said growth is ensigned by knowledge. It's also ensigned by fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. No, sometimes we misunderstand fruitfulness. What is fruitfulness? Fruitfulness does not mean, oh, now you have money. Now, you are just blossoming. No, no. Fruitfulness means, by saying something is fruitful, then there must be a seed. You can't have fruitfulness without a seed, right? Come on. For you to have a fruit, you must have a seed. You must have a seed. And from Jesus' parable, Matthew 13, Matthew 13, where he spoke about the sower and the seed. He said, there's a sower who went forth to sow. There's some seed fell by the roadside. Remember the parable? Some fell among the thorns. Some fell on rocky grounds. And some fell on the good ground. Then they said, parable. Jesus, why are you talking to them in parable? He said, even you. You need to understand. Then he said, the seed is what? Come on. The seed is? We have a teaching like that. The seed is the word. He said, the seed is the word. So, the seed of God is the word of God. So when he says, be fruitful, what will be the seed of fruitfulness? The word of God. So that means, as I take in the word, I become more fruitful. As I take in the word, I grow more. We look at what fruitfulness means, even though we've seen that in years past. I want to implore you to go and listen to teachings on spiritual growth that we already have. I think we already have like about four or five. Five. Alright. So you go listen to them. The seed is the word. Now, how do I bring forth fruit? Look at John 15. Because that is the desire of Christ. That we are fruitful. When you start a new year, those are things you must tell yourself. This year, I'm going to be fruitful. How about that for a resolution? I'm going to be fruitful. Some believers are barren. And that's nothing to do with your womb. They are not fruitful. They are not. You start the year struggling to pray. You end the year struggling to pray. You start the year with... Don't worry. You start the year with no disciple. You end the year with no disciple. What are disciples? You are still asking. Disciples are people you are teaching God's word. People you are mentoring to know more about Jesus. That's part of your fruitfulness. You sit there all day long, you know, let's go to church. Let's go to church. No. That means you're not fruitful. You ask yourself, how many people are seated here right now?
because of you? That's a good question. How many people are learning God's word? How many people are serving Jesus because of you? If the answer is no, none, nil, zero, then you should ask yourself, am I fruitful? Am I? John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. We have looked at that word, takes away. It doesn't mean to kill. We can take this one away now. It takes away. It's just one word. Iro in the Greek. It means to prune, to take care. That's what Greek says today. Every branch that does not bear fruit, the Father will take care of it. Don't forget, I am vine, you are the branches. Are you not? Eh? So the believer is the branch, Jesus is the vine, the Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that he may bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean to the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except he abides in the vine, so you can also cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. Is that what we just thought about? Being alive is what predicates growth, right? Being in Christ, having the life of Christ is what now starts the journey of spiritual growth, alright. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Look at your Bible, not me. Read your Bible. You have a Bible? Read it now. You can help me. John 15:6. That's a poor culture. You read your Bible when everybody's written it. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Hearing my Father glorified, that you what? Bear much fruit. So shall you be my. That is, you will now be doing what I did. What did I do? I bore fruit. So how are we the true disciples of Jesus? When we bring forth much fruit. So what is God's plan for my life? I want to know what God's plan for my life. Number one, be fruitful. That is the instruction of Genesis. Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and multiply. That wasn't talking about childbearing. That was talking about the seed of the word. That is, use God's word and replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. Do you think God was talking about giving birth more? Are people not giving birth more and we have terrorists? Are people not giving birth more and we have armed robbers? That's not the issue. The issue is not giving birth more. God does not need to instruct that one. People will do it themselves. Be fruitful and multiply is about taking the seed of God's word and replenishing the earth. They were already giving birth before Moses said that. So how do I replenish the earth? Replenish is almost the word for heal the earth. Take care of it. How do I take care of it? That is, this person that is not serving Jesus will now start serving Jesus. I'm replenishing the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. How do one person multiply? Your words. As I teach you, you teach others. That's multiplication by the gospel. You learn God's word and then you also find one person. Two people, three people that you are teaching diligently. Let me say this. Ensure you have at least one person you are teaching. That is the faith of Christ. It also helps you to put yourself, it puts you on your toes. Is that clear? You have someone that is looking up to you for teaching, for counsel. You know you are going to be on your toes too. You want to know God's word more, Abi? Because you know they will ask you a question. And when they ask you a question, you don't want to be saying, let me get back to you on that. You know, you want to be able to answer, right? Be fruitful. Jesus says, how would men know that you are my disciples? You'll be fruitful. I'm not barren. I'm not a dry land. I'm fruitful. So, we see fruits of discipleship. Fruit of discipleship. Where you know God's word and you can now teach others. And the people you teach will now teach others. And the people that they taught will now teach others. Hallelujah. That is the promise of Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Subdue it under God's power. We also have fruit in character. What we call the fruit of the spirit. Some people don't want to hear that one. That's the reason why they hate 10 commandments. We're not under the law. We're not under the light. You're not under the law. So that, don't dishonor father and mother now is law. You want to dishonor father and mother. Don't steal. What's your plan? Ushers, take away offering bag from that person, from the surrounding of that person. Amen. We are not under the law. The 10 commandments are not our own. I beg. Offering bag. Secure the bag. Amen. We'll be hiding microphone from you now. Camera, everything. Because, so that you say you are not under the law. May you not go steal. Don't kill. Do you plan to? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's property. What was your plan? Eh? What was your plan? Those things you call 10 commandments is the same thing Paul will now bring in Galatians 5 and call the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing new. The fruit of the Spirit. We see that also as a proof of spiritual growth. So as people are growing spiritually, they will grow in knowledge, they will grow in judgment, they will also grow in character. What did I say? They will grow in character. Character. Fruit of the Spirit is love. You will now love others. How can you say you are growing God's word and you don't love people? So I hate that guy. What did he do to you? I can never forgive you. Why? And you call yourself a child of God. Why are you not forgiven? Your fruitfulness also shows in your character. How you accommodate others. Even people who don't believe the same thing like you. How you even treat those who hate you. Because the truth is there will be people who hate you. But how do I know you are growing spiritually? You don't reciprocate hatred. You don't reciprocate it. Are you listening to me this morning? The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, long-suffering, the ability to hold on, self-control, self-control. You cannot tell yourself that I'm going to do this and you do it. No. You set alarm that you are going to pray. What woke you up was Allahu Akbar. That means it's 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5. You that you set alarm. Tonight, the devil is in trouble. And the devil is looking at you on the bed like this. Say, if someone does something to this one, they will say, I'm the devil, I'm wicked. That's what I want to be. The devil is in trouble. Ah, you should tell. You should tell. You should tell Timothy. He said, I just want to rest my eyes for 5 minutes. So you go. Next, you just hear the next house. In the morning. That's why this wouldn't VG. It's not VG. Everybody in the world has woken up. Hallelujah. You cannot endure. You cannot take sleep out of the way. And you say you are growing spiritually. Some people come for prayer meeting. They'll be hugging pillars. You know, there are no pillar here. They'll be looking for pillar to hug. You are the pillar that holds. They'll be doing using it for handbag. You know handbag? Let me show you. You know handbag now. Like, no, I'm the handbag. You are the, yeah? Someone is making you pray. And as they are dragging you, you are still sleeping. And the person is like, they push your television. And you think the devil wants to attack anybody in that meeting? Who is the first target? Hallelujah. We see the fruitfulness of spiritual growth in daily living. In your devotion. Morning devotion, for example. Some believers don't have morning devotions. Is old school, Abby? Okay. Just wake up like an animal. No, it's an animal that wakes up, doesn't do anything, just goes to eat and start the day and goes back to sleep later. That's an animal life. So next time, mind yourself. Am I acting like an animal? Like a goat? A child of God will wake up, study God's word, will pray, you start off your day well. Start your day like an animal. I believe I'm talking to someone now. Amen. Some people have never read devotionals. I can start mentioning names if you want me to. I'm serious. You know read devotionals. Your prayer chain is a lie. They say we pray. We are praying from 5 o'clock. You will sign in. And you are signing to another world. That's when your sleep enters gear two. Not like signing through text. You can schedule text too. I say, you will schedule that 5 o'clock, every 5 o'clock sign in, every 5:30 sign out. But the truth is, who are you deceiving? Who is he going to hurt? Me? I'm praying. I told someone some years ago. Now he's seeing it. Of course, I'm not going to mention the story. But I said, this decision you are making, who is it hurting? Me? I am praying. It's 7 years after. I'm still serving the Lord. And I hope to all my life. He is not. You don't. There's nobody else. You are lying to yourself. You are lying to your pastor that you are doing it. You just, if I just finished preaching to someone and you did not do it. You are studying devotion. You did not do it. Are you, who are you deceiving? It can't be me. It's yourself. One guy like that went in school. Test.
We were still talking about him yesterday.
Test. Me, I know how I read. I know when I will pass. Once I reach a passing level, I know that this one I've passed. And I will stop. Distinction is for them, profit. My own, I'm done. Once I get that level, my brain tells me, success. I will tell you the exam I will fail, the exam I will pass. Yes, it's not hard to know at all. So I told him, I said, he said, PM, are you reading? I said, I've read the one I used to pass. He said, me too. I said, are you sure you have read? Don't go and do like me. What will make me, the amount of hours I used to read to pass, you might have to double it too. Me, I'm using some juju with it too. Sincerely. Spiritual juju. God kind of juju. Amen. And I'm using some, I have backing, you know. He said, I have read. He said, I've read so much. I said, oh, no, Bola. Results came out. You fail. He did cry. He said, you have read. Who did you deceive? Eventually, I said, he had to go to this place. He had to go to this. When you told me you have read, what was that meant to do to me? Hurt me? At the end of the day, you will see it yourself. Some people, it's when they want to marry. That's when they will not take God serious. They will not start praying on the picture of five boys. People that don't know anything. They just toast you, they toast you. You are taking their picture to mountain. Five! When it's not like you want to sign players. Five! Jesus. I don't want to mismarry. But if you have all your life been growing spiritually, it's not a serious thing. Amen. It's not hard of a decision. It's not hard at all. It's one of the easiest decisions in this life. What my motivational speaker say? Will you marry? It's one of the critical decisions. It's one of the easiest. It's because you are a stupid person. And this money is not spiritual growth I came for. That's stupid. I've used it like 200 more times. You are the stupid fellow. If you are wise and you have been following everything we have been teaching, that's not a big decision. It's not. Pastor, there's one like that. So the lady, apparently the lady follows me a lot. So the guy said, you like that your pastor too much. The first thing is that you first tone it down. So the lady came to me. Of course, he came to tell me again that he said I have to tone down. I said, so why are you telling me now? So what do you want to do? Say, that can never happen. Don't tell me now. Not tell the person. So, and the guy again, he's writing some nonsense on Facebook. Some pastors are manipulative care. You like this person. You said she has everything you want. She prays. She's obedient. She's a God-fearing person. Not someone that God fears. You said all of that. Do you think you will meet her like that if she doesn't have a pastor? Suddenly you now want her to tone it down. It was not hard for her. It was not. She just said, if he's making this kind of request now that we are not married, I wonder, pastor, what he will make when we get married. That is the kind of person I'll tell you. Prayer, what this year you are going to? Rally. We are going for campaign tomorrow. Election rally. Fee. But, because of believers, will come and say, it's a hard decision. It's too hard. He loves me. I cannot see why. You are just a stupid fellow. Write it on your bed. I'm a stupid fellow. Until you get sense. Spiritual growth is about having sense. You don't have sense. The sense of God's word. You don't have it. It will show. You will see the fruitfulness in your character. In your desire to pray. Every time you hear a prayer meeting, you start sweating. Why? Are they collecting blood here? Do they carry calabash on your head? It's not to pray. Who does it affect? It's not you. And the same people, if you let them do, you say, as a church, we are going on beach outing. Watch how many people register. If he does not pass retreat, my name is not Yemi. Say, after we are done, Atakwa Bay, we'll now take a small trip to Ghana. From Ghana, we'll see some centers. We'll lodge in hotel. We'll have time for games and swimming pool. Why do people want to be sheer? Call them, I think we'll drown. Swimming pool, sheer. So after we go to swimming pool, then we'll take some intercontinental dishes. Watch how many people will register. That your work that you are saying, I could not come for the retreat because of work. Watch how many people can, that their work does not matter to them. The issue is not time. I've always said it. The issue is you are a stupid person. Jesus told them, oh foolish and stupid. Because you are not reasoning with the word. That's what it means to be stupid. You are not growing. You are not allowing the seed of word to have fruit. The moment you allow the seed of God's word to start bearing fruit, you start growing. What does it mean? It means when I hear God's word, I act on it. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy to just say, but the moment you start acting on it over and over again, I don't find prayer a task at all. And that's not trying to be immodest. At all. It's always a good time to pray. Because, has he always been like that? Of course, no. I told you now, the first long prayer that someone invited me for, I was already walking out. I've given them excuse. Lie, way past lie. That, of course, that's way, 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 way long ago. I don't package the lie. Bam! As I was about going, I said, I don't get sense, so. I saw people praying. And he was going, I said, if these people are praying, and I'm going, I mean, I'm stupid. Hallelujah. They don't have 2 heads. What do I want to go and be doing where I'm going to now? You have been eating Facebook. So I'm giving to God's word. I'm not a stupid person. It's not confessional. You have to now allow God's seed working. We see it in your character. Your disposition to prayer. Can you be running away from prayer meeting? How? Why? And what you're saying, that one 5 minutes. You already do it. She does it. They wake you up 50 times in a 2-hour prayer. You are not growing spiritually. It's a new year to determine to live for Jesus and say, you know what? This year, I'm going to make deliberate efforts to grow. Deliberate. Are you hearing me? So, spiritual growth means you'll be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. We start seeing it. Your appetite for the things of God will start changing. You don't like to preach. Why? I just like to be coming to church. I'm not that preachy type. You're not that preachy type. You're not a talking type. Was Jesus the dying type when he died for you? He is a dying type, are we? But suddenly you are not the preachy type. Allah in conscience. I'm not the preachy person. I just like to hear God's word and go. You don't like to hear God's word and be stupid. You can even call the title of this sermon stupid. There's a time I will teach it. You are very stupid. That's the title of this sermon. If I'm in a retreat or a workout meeting, why are you stupid like this? because you see some things and you wonder, after how many years of listening to God's word, and you still make this kind of decision? Something is wrong. Something vital is lost. But that's not me. Amen? I'm growing in God's word. My character is changing. For example, that morning devotion, take it serious. Is that clear? They've made it easy for you. There is already a devotional guide. All you have to do is go to the site. You will see the latest one. Apparently by 1 a.m. is already there, Abby. What else do you want to do for you? Meaning that you want to do morning devotion by 2 a.m. in the midnight. You already have it. You have a devotional guide to read. You have a daily text to read. Abby, you have a sermon for the week. It should even be sermon for the day. Why doing week? So just a new sermon every day. Have you listened? Are you? Every day. Something that you can listen to daily. Take that one. Take the sermon of the day. As you're going to walk, plug in. How about that? You know you are starting well like a Christian should. Take your devotion serious. Take it serious. Don't miss prayer times. The issue is not that you don't have time. Stop giving nonsense excuse. There are people that are busier than you and they are still serving God. When I was in school, there was a time Toshoke, do you know this doctor is in ONG, labor, C word. Labor is C word now. He's short like this. It's fair. He has hospital, he's Igbo, speaks. But you've done ONG. That man, we're in the labor ward. And you know the man I'm talking about. So he took us labor ward. And there was this man there. He's more senior surgeon than him. And that man was saying, let's crawl fast. Because I still have to be in church. You know, and I tapped my roommate who I've been telling all these days about church. that you'll be going to church to be looking at cars. So I tapped him and said, did he hear? I heard now. So you say you don't have time. You that are useless like this. You don't have time. You have time. He's always toasting people around. Toasting machine. He will toast, collect different numbers because he's a fine boy. Be playing with them, be collecting money. Some girls. You know, you say you don't have offering. I said, can you hear a surgeon saying he has to be in church? You know Colonel Moyo? How many know Colonel Moyo? He's a soldier. That means someone in military. And he's still preaching around. What's your excuse? You know, you will face Jesus one day. What's your excuse? Peter was fishing all night. He says, we have toiled all night looking for fish. We could not catch anyone. The day he took them to pray, what were they doing? They were sleeping. The issue was not the night. He said, I'm so tired. It's night now. You cannot do things. We don't stay awake at night like that. Jesus has said, you don't stay, eh? The first time I met you, what were you doing all night? Just, context. Context, well, the issue was not the night. The issue is Peter, you are not praying. And if you don't pray, the devil is coming for you to sift you like wheat. Jesus said, but I prayed for you. Prayer saves the day. Amen. So how do I know I'm growing spiritually? I begin to be fruitful. To be fruitful. So you allow God's word to make effect in your life. To change you. Let God's word make you what it talks about. Let it make you what it talks about. If God's word says you can pray, then you can pray. If God's word says you are a giver, a cheerful giver, then you're a cheerful giver. If God's word says you are a preacher, a minister of the gospel, then that's what you are. Are you listening to me? Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Stay with what God's word has called you. Sometimes the journey might be difficult. Sometimes the journey might not be smooth as we are looking at adventures and spiritual growth. But you must keep walking. Is that clear? Go back to our text. Psalm 1. Are you there? So, look at verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in season. So he's talking about spiritual growth now. He's bringing forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. He's talking about someone who is growing spiritually. He says, one of the things you first see is that his delight is in the word of the Lord. That's verse 2. His delight is in the word of the Lord. And he meditates there day and night. I told you meditation. Meditation is not yoga. Meditation means to hear again. To hear again. So let me give you, I think I taught this in the teaching already. The way they meditate on God's word is, you have the law, the Torah. So they will take the Torah and start reading it to themselves again. So I can call Tosin, for example, and I say, no, sit down. I say, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate. That's meditation. It's listening to it again. Now, what would be the variant of that in today's context? To listen to teachings. Whatever will make you hear it again. Sometimes you have to say it yourself. So you look at yourself in the mirror. Or you're going to walk in the morning and say, I'm a child of God. A child of God. I walk by the Spirit. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love to pray. I'm walking in God's counsel. I don't live in unforgiveness. I walk in. Can you see that? That's meditation. So he says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of sinners. Who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But whose delight were in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? He meditates on it sometimes. Imagine when he has time. Every time. Day and night. So, the psalmist gives you a clue to spiritual growth. You meditate on God's word day and night. He says, then you will be like a tree. Planted by the rivers of waters. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You will be like a tree. Evergreen. Always having supply. All the leaves are green. Amen. My leaves are green. My leaves are green. My leaves are green. Thank you, Jesus. I'm fruitful. I'm fruitful. In my spiritual walk, I'm fruitful. In my prayer walk, I'm fruitful. In my fellowship with the Father, I'm fruitful. In my discipleship, I'm fruitful. I'm not a dry ground. Thank you, Jesus. But we begin to look at the adventures. Even as I close. Look at where it starts from. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Does not walk. So I told you to take note of the actions. Walk, stand, and sit. Three negatives. Walks not, stand not, sit not. Walks not, stand not, sit not. The first time to walk is in Genesis 3. The voice of God walks in the garden. Again, I'm just giving the background. We'll take it from there much more next week. The voice of God walks in the garden in the cool of the day. And then the next person we will see it will be Abraham in Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be. That's spiritual growth. Walk before me. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the way of sinners. Of course, primarily, that is in salvation. The way of sinners is unbelief. The way of sinners is unbelief. So in salvation, the believer does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, pardon me, then does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The seat of the scornful will be those who scorn God's word. The way of sinners will be unbelief. The counsel of the ungodly will be unbelief. Primarily. But I've told you before that spiritual growth is also taken from that salvation experience. For example, when Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the Son of God. Again, that's salvation, but that's also our daily experience. We are led by the Spirit. That makes sense? So whatever you see in salvation is also spiritual growth. As you have received Christ, so walk in Him. So how do I grow spiritually? The same way I receive God. The same way I receive salvation. By hearing God's word and acting on it. By hearing God's word and acting on it. That same way I grow spiritually. So, but the psalm is saying you doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's in salvation. But observe what God told Abraham. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Walk before me and be perfect. So we look at the adventures in spiritual growth. By walking. Look at where do you walk to? How do you walk? How do you conduct yourself? Because there's such a walk. Amen. Amen. And we see the characters and the people you meet while growing spiritually. A very practical teaching actually this year. We see the kind of people you will meet in the journey of spiritual growth. Sometimes you meet people that want to derail you. And like that old story, you can meet an older prophet. But we'll look at all of that much more as we can adventures in spiritual growth. I want to trust God. I want to trust God that your walk with God will change. Amen? You'll be stronger. You'll be wiser. You'll be better. Amen? You believe that? But don't forget, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the God. Let's take that one at the surface. That means you will take godly counsels. So how do I grow spiritually? I take godly counsels. That means spiritual growth will come from a lot of corrections. Some people don't like to be corrected. And if you don't like to be corrected, you have a problem. The first problem is what they are correcting you for. The second problem is pride. And you see that pride, God will resist you. Because He resists the proud. His grace is for the humble. Why are you even proud? So they correct you and you start feeling, why would that pastor tell me to pray? Why should they tell you not to pray? Sometimes you overrate yourself. You overrate yourself. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago, I had to tell myself that. I said, you overrate yourself. Always maintain a sane estimate of yourself. You are not beyond correction. If you will grow spiritually, you must sense the corrections. I had the privilege of teaching in a pastoral school. There's nobody there that was my age mate. Everybody probably 10 plus, 15 plus years older. And I met this particular pastor. He came to me after. He has been in ministry for about 40 years. He has been in ministry for about 40. And he came to me and said, "Ah, yes, sir. What you taught today, sincerely, with all due respect, I don't think you were born when I've been teaching opposite." I said, "Eh, wow." So I said, "How many years have you been pastoring?" He said, "About 40 something years." He said, "But with what you taught today, I have to go back to church and apologize and tell them that I goofed and reteach it." I said, "You're going to do that?" He said, "Of course. Jesus is what we are living for. There's no pride." I said, "This is a man who is in his probably 70s and is willing to go back and apologize to his parishioners that he has taught wrongly. That's a man who has the heart for service. And you see some people in their 20s. You can't correct them." So, are you now saying, "Shut up, go back my left, be chicken"? Are you now saying that all the things I know, what do you know? Answer, what do you know exactly? There was not I used to form theology on campus then. Did I undo them? I intentionally wanted to ridicule him. He said, "I didn't know you know this much." I said, "Because you don't have to say it. And by the way, I don't know much. If you say I know much, what if you now miss the person that taught him? And the person that taught him? So, where is the much?" Shut up. Blessed is the man that will walk in counsels. Godly counsels. Because in the adventures of spiritual growth, there will be times you will need someone to point you back. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Let me say this. There'll be times you need someone to point you back. That you are going the wrong way. You are doing the wrong thing. And if they are not there, you might miss it. Thank God for those who are involved in my growing. Thank God for them. Hey, each and every one. Sometimes I remember Pastor Biodu Kasumu. You know, he would call me and say, "Yemi, they don't hold programs like that. Trust me, I don't know anything. I have key to the church. What else? I just hold program. I just start guiding people." Then he'll say, "I'm not against your program. I'm not against your meeting. But when next you want to have a meeting, you will tell me. I will now tell you if you can have it." And I felt, am I not doing God's work? Now I know better. Amen. But thank God for such men. You know how many times I appeared in church panel? You know what church panel? You don't know what church panel is? You are lucky. This age, there is no church panel again. It's church panel, though. Hallelujah. That they will call you. And me, I can do the panel here. You know me, I always do it my own. Separately. I can't ask you to stand up and correct you in front of everybody. If you think I cannot, try me. I should be, you know, the person you have. I will call you on a Sunday morning before I start teaching. So that everybody will remember throughout the teaching that, so everything I say in the teaching will be looking at you. Because correction is part of growth. If you feel somehow after that correction, I mean, like you feel like, that's humiliating, then something is wrong with you. There's nobody that corrects you that hates you. You know what the threat looks like? Seeing you going to fire and I will say nothing. See you walk into a pit and I'll just be cheering you and say, "Go." But somebody seeing you go a wrong way and they are pulling your shirt and they are smacking your back and you think they hate you. You're about to say, "Aniki, Omadiye, Angbamadiye, Lowasha." I will interpret it too. "Angbamadiye, Omadiye, Lowasha. Only one, Jacob, Losaki, Lodjian." Let me say it again. We are trying to save the chick, the child of chicken, from the ox. We are trying to save him from the ox. You know what the chicken is saying? "They are not allowing me to go to the dump refuse to eat. They hate me. They will not allow me to go out." But we are trying to save you from the ox. Sometimes it's not everything you are seeing. Blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly. There's such a walk. Are you listening to me? There's such a thing as the counsel of the ungodly. You will find spiritual growth in corrections. Paul will tell Timothy, do this, do that, don't do this one, stay up, don't do this, don't follow this person. He said, at the point he said, Alexander the coppersmith, he has hurt me so much, and if he withstood me, he will withstand you. Don't have anything to do with him. That is spiritual growth. When you hear corrections, when you eat it, some people, let me tell you, some people don't have, they don't like their cell leaders. Because you feel, their own is too much. Their own is too much for who? It's not for you. You don't get it. These guys slave themselves praying, fasting, praying, doing everything. And your own is too much. You don't want to know. If prayer stop on your life, you will see the difference. And it stop. But if prayer cease for a week, you will know it. Except you don't want to serve God, which you will regret. There's no need of painting anything, no. You will regret it, wallahi. In this world or year after. It will end in regret. It will end in tears. It's not a curse. Hallelujah. So how do I know I'm growing spiritually? I begin to walk in godly counsels. I begin to appreciate correction. Paul says, the scriptures are for correction and for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. For correction. Hallelujah. So I'm growing spiritually. Why is your voice now low? So I'm growing spiritually. I walk in godly counsels. I walk in godly counsels. I'm not offended when I'm corrected. Say that very well. I'm not offended when I'm corrected. I love corrections. I love Jesus. And I'm fruitful. My leaves are green. My prayer life is working fine. My preaching life is working fine. I'm a teacher of the gospel of Christ. I'm a minister of God. Say that one very well. Those at the back. I'm a minister of God. You believe that? Pray for yourself this morning. Those, have your seats. Have your seat and pray. Pray for yourself. I'm not a stupid fellow. All that God has in plan for me, I walk in it. I'll not be stubborn. I'll not be stubborn. I'll take my spiritual growth serious. My devotion, my commitment, I'm not stupid. I recognize what God is doing for me through others. And I walk in it. Are you sure you're praying? This year I'll grow much more. By the end of the year, I'll be able to say what a year of spiritual growth I had. Nothing will stop what God wants to do through me and in me. My abilities are multiplied. My convictions are strengthened. My faith is better. Don't forget, we said everything that has life must grow. And because I'm alive in God, growth is mine. Oh God, everyone you sent my path to ensure my growth, I receive them. I receive them. I'm not adamant. I'm not stubborn. Amen.